Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 92, part 2, Faces About the Cross. Today is Palm Sunday, April 5th, 2009. Hello and happy spring. Thank you for joining the podcast today. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. And Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. And you can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our online community, and at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, the store, Twitter, and YouTube. So be sure to join us online at www.pastorpaul.org. You can also go to the blog, and there you can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony. So be sure to go to Pastor Paul's blog, where you will find links to the scriptures within today's message. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. Now be sure to join us for both episodes, every Friday, part 1, and every Sunday, part 2. Thank you for joining us. Have a great week, and God bless you.
A very peculiar thing happened. Jesus said it would happen. And the rooster crowed. Is a rooster crowing in your life? Have you gossiped against God's people? Have you been envious and petty or jealous? Oh God, we do terrible things when we're envious. Say amen, somebody. We do terrible things when we are envious. We do terrible things when we are jealous, don't we? Do you ever have the rooster crow in your life? Were you ever envious of someone? I confess. How many have been envious of someone? Okay, now, a movie star maybe? You can put your hands up on that one. Everybody's envious of somebody. My God. Superman, put him up. Jesus! Well, get him up in the air. My God, don't be afraid to put your hands up. Well, I'm not going to. Well, don't do it. But that's just the same way. Let's get our hands up. People, come on, put them up. You haven't been envious of somebody. See, that's how we get free. Oh, I'm interested in people getting free. My God, if I have to confess everything there is to confess, I'll do it. Woo! How many hearing this? Well, I kind of see them now looking down from the balcony. And here they are pulling out Jesus. Had this crown of thorns on his head. Hey, I got one here. Here's exactly what they look like. And they were pulling the Lord out. With this crown of thorns. Boy, that's smart. And they were pulling the Lord out with this crown of thorns on his head that they had beat him with, and plucked his beard out, and his nose was spread this way and it was spread that way, and the eyebrows were gone, and I mean, he was just disfigured. And And who do you suppose he looks into? He looks right down and he looks right into the eyes of Jesus. And those eyes seem to say to him, you are still a rock. You know what it says? Peter runs away crying. When God calls you and gives you a name, that's the way it is, regardless of what you think. But anyway, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there? Say amen, somebody. Oh, my God. And over here, just a little up ahead of us here, I see Herod. Luke 23 and 11, and Herod, with all his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him. Here we have this little fat, greasy-jawed king, sex-crazy, hate-filled, murdering one that killed all his 10 wives and the sons with him. Then who beheaded John the Baptist as a trophy for a dancing girl. Salome's dance of the seven veils, and he was ruled by his flesh. If it feels good, do it. Oh God, so many times people are ruled by their, if it feels good, do it. Whew. Do you know if you really let your flesh go, it will feel good to murder? Did you know that? If you really let your flesh go. Did you know if you really let your flesh is never satisfied? Did you know that? You let your flesh have a little way with sex, it's going to go for more sex and more perverted sex and more perverted sex until it gets perverted, perverted, perverted. Did you know that? Did you know you cannot satisfy your flesh? You have allowed your flesh to go ahead and take a few things, and now you can't stop yourself. It's like dipping in the till. Maybe you're working in some cafe someplace, and oh, I'll just borrow $10. Then you mean to put it back? Oh, I'll put it back. And then something comes up, you don't put it back. Well, 10 will get you 20, and 20 will get you 40, and 40 will get you 80, and 80 will get you 160, and so on, 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 and so on. Now you're a thief, and pretty soon you can't wait to get after that till again. Do you know it really feels good to the flesh if you allow it to gossip? Even though it gives you a gut ache and you got sour apples in your gut. Someone's going, you get the great big gossip ear, you know, where it comes on like one of these French hats. You could flop it over your head and play Frenchie, you know what I mean? It's hanging way out here. You know, once you get caught up in gossip, how that is? Do you ever see an office crew that's caught up in gossip? Do you think they ever have enough? Never. They sit down and they have their lunch break in 10 minutes. They have only 10 minutes. You know what they do with what they have with their coffee and their donut? Gossip. They go home and they sit down at the table and you know what they have with their meal, their chicken frigates and all that? What? Gossip. They wake up in the morning and you know what they have in their dreams? You know what enters into their dreams? Gossip. And you just can't satisfy this craving for gossip. And it gives you a gut ache. And you feel awful after you did it. But you can hardly wait to get into the next gospel, this gossip feast. Say amen, somebody. Oh, it's contagious. Did you know that? Somebody touched me, huh? And somebody touches you with gossip. There's all kinds of things that can touch you. They sing that song, you know, somebody touch me. Well, I think a lot of times people get touched by the wrong spirit. I'll tell you the truth. Isn't it the truth? Oh, my God. Aren't you glad you're saved tonight? Oh, man. I mean, I was a man, but I always loved to hear gossip. I did. I didn't spread it, but I loved to hear it. But my big thing was, you know, killing the person that did it. and then telling everybody what they said. And that's why I did it to them. I had a double fun, you know what I mean. How many are, am I all alone here tonight? I don't think so. You know, it really feels good to the flesh if you let it go right on ahead and give your opinions. Oh, aren't we good at giving our opinions? Doesn't that feel good to the flesh to give your opinions? Doesn't that just make you swell up like Robin Redbreast? Huh? Somebody asks you, well, what do you think? Oh, that's dangerous. What are your thoughts on this? Huh? My goodness. Doesn't that feel good when we allow our flesh to do that? Or points a finger. Doesn't our flesh like to extend that finger? That nasty old finger? You know, just look at that. Huh? Oh, that feels so good to the flesh. And when we start pumping ourselves up, doesn't that feel good to the flesh? Oh my God, it even feels good to the flesh to hate. Huh? Doesn't it? That's why there's so many hateful people. Crucify him! Crucify him! And they tried to quiet him down, and they yelled all the louder, crucify him! Well, the flesh got into it. They got a beat going, you know what I mean? Ooh, ooh, ooh. You ever get yourself going like that? That's like these guys, they sit down and talk about boxing, and the next thing you know, they're up boxing each other and knocking each other on their fannies. Say amen, somebody. Huh? Because they get into it. Huh? And we have to watch what kind of conversations we get into. Oh, we really got into it. What'd you get into? My God, you got into gossip and envy and junk. And the flesh loves it. And then you just walk around half smirking all day. And it's just like you're almost possessed with things. And I started to wonder, I was getting ready for this message, I said, you mean God died for that? Jesus died for this, for that? God so loved the world. We have to recognize what we have in Jesus Christ. No one else would die for you. Now, I'm not just talking to us in here, folks. I'm talking to radio audiences and I'm talking to tape ministries all over. See, the more that we see these things, the more we can appreciate Jesus and the less we judge one another. How many are hearing this? Ooh. Ooh. And here was the type of man that was going to judge God. Herod, oh, God. Looking down a little further down the line, closing on this message, I see Pilate standing down there in John 19 and 6. And Pilate says, take him yourself and crucify him, for I find no crime in him. I believe one of the biggest ironies of all history is that one of the most obscure officials in the whole of the huge Roman Empire is today the very best known. From Caesar to Seneca to Cicero to Tiberius to Virgil to Horace. And here we have this obscure, fumbling, mismanaged Pilate. You know what he's known for? Not for what he had done, but for what he didn't do. And that's the way it is a lot of times with us. We're not remembered for what we do. It's what we don't do. What didn't you do this week? What didn't you do this week? Oh, we always got kind of excuses, don't we? Oh, God. Oh, I would do this, but, and I would do that, but, and I'd go here, but this, and but that, and I think a whole lot of Christians are stuck on their butts. But. But we have Pilate here. He was stubborn. I believe he was petty, unreliable, pig-headed, and small-minded, always making mistakes. Do you hesitate speaking out when a brother is being put down? Then you're like a pilot standing at the door while Jesus is nailed to the cross. I had a man come in here one time. He talked about a preacher here in town. He's a famous and a beautiful man. And he said he gave some kind of an innuendo. You ever been around people that give innuendos? God, they're hateful. They plant seeds. Did you know you can plant a seed in silence by not saying anything? I'm washing my hands of this. I ain't having nothing to do with it. Hey. And so the person that was putting this person down, I says, hey, I let me tell you something. The man putting him down was inspecting this building. I says, I don't care if you flunked this building. You're not going to come in here and talk about this man of God like this. And sir, I'll just have to ask you to leave. And you mark down what you want to with this building. And I don't care what you put down, but you're not going to put this person down. So I'm just going to have to ask you to get out of here. I don't like that kind of conversation. I happen to love this person. Get gone. And that just left. Oh, Jesus. So many times we don't stick up for brothers and sisters and we listen. Jesus is nailed to the cross every time we do that. You listening on the radio to this tape, come on, get some conviction. Get some G-U-T-Z's, guts. Get some love. Get some devotion. Stop looking for excuses. You know, if you can only trust a person 80% of the time, can you trust them at all? Well, most of the time they're trustworthy. Would you trust them with your children? No. Most of the time he's trustworthy. It's just once in a while. That once in a while will stick in your mind. Say amen. You know, preachers, you're listening to this tape. And you're listening to this radio. And unless we become trustworthy, worthy of God's trust, you know, working out our own salvation with fear and trembling and going to our own personal Jerusalem and staying there until the job is done and drinking the cup all the way down, unless we have that kind of dedication, we have no dedication at all. Caiaphas, John 18 and 14, and it was Caiaphas who had given counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. The characters around the cross. Oh, God. Woo! What was wrong with all these people? There was an envy there. Envy, it says, is rottenness of bones. Now let's go on to James 3:15 and 16. We're talking here. If in your hearts you have envy and selfish ambition, do not speak boastfully and falsely in the defiance of truth. This is not the wisdom which comes from above, but it is earthly, it is unspiritual, devilish. For where envy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every evil practice. Were you there when they crucified, oh my Lord? Were you there when they crucified, my Lord? Whoa, sometimes it kind of makes me tremble.
Brother Trimble, were you there when they crucified my Lord? And the indifferent mob in Matthew 21, 8 and 9. Most of the crowd spread their clothes on the road, and others cut the branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and followed him shouted, Hosanna! And then we read in Mark 15, 8 through 14, then the crowd cried out, Crucify him! The same people. The same people. Oh God. The very same people. In Mark 14, 51 and 52, when a young man followed him with nothing on but a linen cloth about his body, and they seized him, but he left the linen cloth and ran naked. Who was it? Tradition has it was Mark himself. At least he came. Finally, Simon of Cyrene, it says in Mark 15 and 21, and they compelled him, a passerby, by Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country of the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. Simon was a black man. And they asked him to carry the cross. And you know what he said? He said, Yes, Lord. Will you bear one another's burdens? Will you? Were you there tonight? Did you see yourself in any of this tonight? I did. I was there. Joseph of Arimathea, Mark 15, 42 and 43. And when the evening had come, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. He took courage and went after the body of Jesus. Mary of Magdala and John 19 and 25. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary and the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. Here we have a woman that loved Jesus. She stayed from the beginning to the end, during the trial and during the beating, while he was on the cross. And here we have the true meaning of love, the greatest of them all. Oh, God. God, how I want that kind of love. Oh, God, how I want that kind of guts. Finally, Demas the thief, Luke 23 and 39, one of the criminals who were hanged, said, Jesus, remember me when thou come into the kingdom power. And he said to him, Truly I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Here we have a young man that just called out, I believe. Take me with you. Oh God. I believe tonight. I believe tonight. And I believe in the cross of Jesus. And don't get too saddened by the death of Jesus, for it's done. Hallelujah. Sitting at the right hand in heaven, right now tonight. Sunday we'll be ministering on that he is risen. Oh, God. Have you seen yourself tonight? Yes. Before the grace of God, every one of us in here is capable of anything that we've seen here around the cross. Any one of us. But you are kept by the power of God. And the power of God is grace. If there needs to be a message preached, it needs to be a message continually preached about the grace of God. You give all the glory to God. And never get so that you think you can't stop in the middle of a message or the middle of a conversation and say, Praise the Lord. Never think that you're too busy to just take a couple of seconds out and say, God, help me, pray. Because you know what? That's what gives you your power, and that's what gives you your peace, and that's how you receive your grace. When you stop right in the middle of something and say, God, help me through this thing. Never, you know, when people are down, they didn't pray. When they're walking with their face hanging down, I mean, it looks like Laurel and Hardy. I mean, it's hanging way down here, and they're standing, I wonder what happened. Huh? They need a fat character slapping them in the face. That's why they got them together, you understand. When the face is that long, they have not prayed for the grace of God to keep them.
They haven't said, glory to God, God's grace is able to keep me. And when we get angry and upset during the week, it's because we haven't prayed for the grace of God to keep us. We haven't stopped right then in the middle of that thing and say, God, give me grace in this thing. I don't have it. I'm running low. Fill up your tank. You got a grace tank. Just unscrew the cap over here. Fill it up with grace. Walk up to God's pump and say, fill it up. Check the oil of the Holy Spirit. Check me out. Hey, we need to get into more of that, don't we? Depending on the grace. We can get so spiritual we don't even... Well, we don't even pray anymore. We're just spiritual. We're just spiritual. You know what I mean? We're just spiritual. Oh. There is no such thing. No, there isn't. I'm sorry to tell, you know, you listening on the radio, and I know there's a lot of spiritual people out there with them thin, skinny, pious lips. But let me tell you something. It's the grace of God that keeps all of us. Isn't it? It's the grace of God. Isn't he wonderful? Praise the Lord. And you know it works? Downstairs, we get down into praying down in there, and the Holy Spirit comes, and you just, isn't it wonderful? The Spirit of God flows all over our bodies. Whew. Isn't that worth it all? We were down there, and Dave and George and all of us were praying. We're praying about things in the ministry, and the Holy Spirit fell. The grace of God came in. And it cut all the conversation to ribbons. Snip, snap, snip, snap, snap. And it was all over. How was it all over? By the grace of God. Say amen. Oh, God. It's the same way on that hobo bus. You go on down there and lay your hand on that bus and you say, by the grace of God. Lord, ministering and warring the angels round about. And then you're going to have to believe that because there'll come some trials. See where your believing is. And then it says, having done all stand, so you stand right there on the bus and you let the grace of God flow out of you. Isn't that what it says? There's a river of life flowing out from me. Praise the Lord. Where does that river, where is its source? From deep within, from the Holy Ghost, from the heavenly waters, hallelujah, that will fill you to overflowing. And there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? No condemnation. Isn't it wonderful that all things are working together for good for them that love the Lord? Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. All things are working together for good. All things. Some things I thought, God, this ain't never going to turn out for good. This is the most evil thing that ever happened to me. Oh, God, I tell you, this can't turn to good. This is just evil. This is straight for the pits of hell. God says, I'm in charge. Now turn it around to good. Unless, of course, you want to hold on to that thing and build it up. Don't build up evil. Lift me up. And I, he says, if I be high and lifted up on a cross, I will draw all men unto myself. Glory to God. It's the cross. Hallelujah for that message. Hallelujah that Christ died for all our sins, that we can be free. Hallelujah. And we can pray and feel the presence of the living God, the Holy Spirit, wash over us. What a beautiful feeling that is when the washing of the Holy Ghost comes down upon you and permeates and fills your whole, every fiber of your body, and you know that God is God. Hallelujah. It makes it all worth it. Hallelujah. And you say, glory to God. Down with all the bad talk. Up with all the good talk. Raise up Jesus and stop holding up your crooked little stick. It's a nasty little thing. And hold up that straight stick of the Lord. Hallelujah. Build up the brothers in the faith. Stop tearing people down. And if you haven't got nothing good to say, shut your mouth. Glory to God. People, are you hearing it? We got to lift up Jesus. And when we lift up Jesus, we lift up the brethren. Hallelujah. Are you hearing it tonight? That's what it's all about. The grace of God. Glory. Let's hear it for the Lord.